Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way. I'm coming your way out of the lighthouse on a Wednesday morning. And I got to tell you, folks, it's really a cool Wednesday morning. Quite a change from what we've been having. I'm over here, as I said, at the lighthouse. It's kind of a rainy day, a rainy morning, and it doesn't look like it's going to change a whole lot throughout the course of this day. But I'm happy to be able to share with you in our broadcast time. You tune me in by the way of WIONI 1430 AM or 92.7 FM or over in the lower area 100.3 FM at 8 o'clock. And I welcome each and every one of you to our broadcast time. Others have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both the Ionia and the Greenville station by the way of the web. And that's a very special thing to be able to do. Others have tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. I welcome you. Those that are listening by the way of my website is PastorKenHarger.com. You'll bring your mouse up over messages from the lighthouse and current media should show up. And when that shows up, you just click on the top message, and that's the message for this morning. Whatever way you join me, I'm just happy to have you be a part of our broadcast time together today. I need to say a thank you to those that take care of the financial part of the broadcast time. So a big thank you to Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area, to Bell and Judy Hammond from the Belden area, to Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband Spence, that was his nickname, and she's from the Orleans area, and to Shiloh Community Church, where I pastored for 50 years, and I still attend there. I would like to give you an invitation to come and join me there. I don't do all the services. I do Saturday night, which is at 6:30, and I do Sunday morning, which is at 9 o'clock. But by that time, my wife and I are tired and we are not able to stay long enough to be the contemporary service, which starts at 10:45. Out of our Greenville campus, located at the old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and Luray Street in Greenville, that service begins at 11 o'clock. We give you an invitation to attend any one of those services that you would so desire. I always like to say thank you to K.N. Kingsinger because she's been so faithful through the years of doing my music for me, and I appreciate her this morning and the ministry that we've had together. Now, as we share in the message for this morning, I wanted to continue on with a thought that I thought was very important for us to consider as we think about school getting back to students going back to school and teachers. And it's just not the same in our country today. And so I wanted to share this thought. God's call to us as a nation and to us, the people that make up America, I believe his call to us is move forward. Move forward. God doesn't want us not to be concerned about moving forward, whatever way we can. We need to be safe. We need to be cautious, but we need to move forward. We need to accomplish something in our lives that's going to be beneficial for each and every one of us. And I don't know exactly what that looks like, but what I wanted to do this morning is there was a city of Nineveh, and it really had gotten wicked and walked away from God in so many ways. And God had a servant at that time by the name of Jonah. And he wanted to use Jonah to help bring this city back to a relationship with him, or else end up destroying the city God was going to do. But Jonah, he didn't want to exactly get involved in that. And so I'm going to use Jonah to kind of teach us how we do need to get involved. And we can learn some lessons from Jonah, what can cause some trouble on our part as we do not do what we should do to make the nation move forward. So I'm glad you joined me this morning. Looking forward to sharing the message. God's got a song for us this morning. And this song is talking about Jonah, Job, and Moses. There's all a lot of Old Testament characters, folks, that lived in a different period of time, but went through a lot of difficulty in their lives, and we want to learn from them. So we're going to start out this song, and that'll get us started for our broadcast time, and I'm looking forward to sharing the message with you. God bless you. Thank you for tuning me in.
They were solid as a rock, stubborn as a stone, honest to the core and ornery to the bone. And the good book says their lot in life was not a bed of roses for Jonah, Job, and Moses. Now Jonah knew the darkness in the belly of a whale, and Job saw tribulation, and Moses went through hell. There were tears and fears and heartache in big and bigger doses for Jonah, Job, and Moses. And me, I'm just a struggling soul, 10,000 years removed. I've been lost out in the desert, I've been swallowed and consumed. And I pray to God for patience, make me more like those three. Help me survive my troubles, let me join that band of brothers. Let it be Jonah, Job, Moses, and me. I've battled with some demons, I've lost the ones I've loved. I shook my fist at Jesus, and I could not rise above. It was in the anger of those hours I came to feel the closest to Jonah, Job, and Moses. Cause me, I'm just a struggling soul, 10,000 years removed. I've been lost out in the desert, I've been swallowed and consumed. And I pray to God for patience, make me more like those three. Help me survive my troubles, let me join that band of brothers. Let it Jonah, Job, Moses, and me. Lord, let it be Jonah, Job, Moses, and me. They were solid as a rock, stubborn as a stone.
What a good thought to start today, folks. What a good thought to think there's others in the history of the human race that's gone through difficulties of all kinds, such as Jonah, such as Job, and Moses. And we need to realize they were told to move forward over and over again all through the Bible. God doesn't allow us to stand still and have a pity party for ourselves. No, he tells us we need to move forward. Move forward. And I believe that's what God is saying 2020, this month of September. It's time to move forward in your life and the life of us as a nation. It's time for us to realize we've got a lot of work to do, like I talked about last week, and we need to get started at it. So let's get started in our message for this morning. But before we do, I want to remember you, the listening audience. You're my congregation this morning. You're the reason I'm over here at the Lighthouse at 7 o'clock in the morning on a Wednesday, is to get this message ready for Sunday morning. And I want to remember you in prayer. I always did that when I was pastor at Shiloh Community Church. Every morning, I wanted to pray for the congregation, whatever they were going through. And as I've been mentioning the last few weeks, I would often have unspoken request time, where they would raise their hand and say they had an unspoken request. And I would remember that unspoken request. You may have one this morning. Something that's keeping you awake night, something that's causing you a lot of difficulty. And we need to come to the Lord with that. So when I come to my place in my prayer where I'm praying for an unspoken request, God knows what it is that you need. You know what it is. And you focus on that, and I'll pray about that. Okay, here we go. Dear Father, once again, we come into your presence. Once again, I have confidence that you're going to hear us. Once again, we have the assurance that you remind us that when we seek your face, in the name of the Lord Jesus, you're able to reach out and do for each one of us. So, Father, first of all, this morning, I want to remember the listening audience. Every single person has got they're tuned into my program this morning. Whatever way they've tuned in, wherever they've tuned in, I ask your special blessing to be upon them today. Meet the need not only of the individuals that is listening, but meet the needs of their family. Sometimes there's spiritual needs. Sometimes there's financial needs. Sometimes, Father, there's physical needs. Sometimes there's other kinds of needs that they have in their life, and I pray that you would meet them at the point of their need. I want to pray especially for that person that has been going through a lot. Maybe they're trying to recover from a surgery. Maybe they're in a nursing home or one of the extended cares, and they're just going through a tough time. Maybe they've just gone through some pretty serious business of laying a loved one to rest. Maybe others have gone through the difficulty of finding out they have cancer or something else that they're going to be needing to have some work done on. I just pray, dear Father, that you would be with each and every one of them. And then, Father, we want to remember any unspoken requests. So that person that has an unspoken request right now, Father, you know what that need is. And Father, they're focusing on that unspoken request. It's keeping them awake at night. It's causing them to have anxiety. So Father, right now we're going to pray that your will would be done. We're going to pray, Father, if they got to make a decision about something, you'd give them the wisdom. We're going to pray that if they got to live with something that can't be any different, that you'll give them your grace like you did to the Apostle Paul. Father, would you meet each of the needs according to your will of unspoken requests this morning? And I'll thank you in that wonderful name of Jesus. And for his sake, amen. Well, here we are moving on in the month of September. Very fast, as we realize, you know, there's soon going to be a lot of changes taking place around this lake as pontoons begin to be put away and wave runners and all those kinds of things. And then the docks begin to come out, and all of a sudden it changes from what it was for the past few months. But what we're talking about this morning is for us to realize that God wants us to move forward. And using Jonah as my illustration or my teacher today, Jonah, one of those folks that did go through an awful lot in his lifetime. But I believe the one thing that will hinder us from moving forward is something that Jonah had to deal with, and that is selfishness. A man named Jonah, the runaway prophet, that's what they call him, he will be our teacher for this message. Someone has said, selfishness truly is the mother of all sin. It is as common to each of us and keeps us from loving God and others as we're called to do as a believer. Just thinking of me, myself, and I. Pretty serious business, folks. Because God says we're to love him, we're to love others, and we're to love ourselves. But when we're just thinking of me, myself, and I, that gives us a time, a very discouraging time. And Jonah went through that, and we'll study from his life. But before we do, God gives us a warning that selfishness will increase as we move towards the last days of time here on planet Earth. He said to the young man Timothy, Apostle Paul, speaking to him in chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, you must understand this. In the last days, there will be violent periods of time. People will be selfish, and people will love money. They will brag, they will be arrogant, and there will be abusive language. They will cause their parents to show no good. They will curse their parents and show no gratitude. They'll have no respect for what is holy, and they'll lack the normal affection for their family. They will refuse to make peace with anyone. They'll be slanderous, lack self-control. They'll be brutal and have no love for what is good. They will be traitors. They will be reckless and conceited. They'll love pleasure rather than God. They'll appear to have a godly life, but they will not let his power change them. And then he says this, stay away from those people. Because I know the ones we surround ourselves with, we can become like them. And that's not a very pretty picture of the human race, folks. And now I got to tell you, Pastor Ken didn't write that. You know, God wrote that in his Bible, in the book of Timothy. And a man by the name of Paul was sharing it with a young minister, saying it's going to get more difficult. And I got to tell you, I believe it's more difficult to minister today than it was all the years that I did the ministry there at Shiloh. Because there's a lot of things that's talked about in that portion of scripture there that's happening in our day and age. It sounds like it's being written about today. And he's telling us, you know, as time gets closer to the return of Christ, he's telling us it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. Some place it is called about waxing worse. That's like, you know, when you used to make jam and you put wax on the top of it. I watched my mama do that many times, helped her do that many times. The wax goes in a liquid and it covers the top of the little jar of jam. And all of a sudden it seals that jar. As that wax gets tight and cold, it covers the top of the jar. And God's telling us things are going to wax worse. Selfishness is having a high sense of self. It's having a lot of pride. It's the opposite of humility. Many times I have funerals and they say, that person was the most selfless person. They thought of others before they thought of themselves. Selfish is the opposite of humility. Selfishness is worshiping self rather than God. Jonah was a prophet of God, but he wanted to do what he wanted to do, and he wanted to do the way he wanted to do it. That sounds interesting, doesn't it? He wanted to do what he wanted to do, and he wanted to do it the way he wanted to do it. That's pretty convincing. That's pretty convicting, so to speak. And you know, God, he was told to warn the people, but he was disobedient to the God that had given him a job to do. In Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, this is what it says. The Lord spoke his word to Jonah. He said, leave at once for that important city of Nineveh. And go to that city and announce to the people that God can no longer overlook the wicked things they are doing. And Jonah immediately turned to run away from the Lord and go down to Tarshish. That was down. He paid for a trip and went on the boat. And he went down to the bottom of the boat and he went to sleep. See how the sin of selfishness does not respond to what God says. God said, leave at once, Jonah. And Jonah immediately turned and ran away. That's doing the total opposite of what God was saying. And we need to realize that that is exactly what was going on many, many times in our nation today. Love is not selfish. But when love is left out, all of a sudden it becomes selfishness taking over. Well, I got to tell you, God's not going to let that happen just in that way. As we realize, I love what God told Jonah about the city of Nineveh. Leave at once, he said. It's an important city. Announce to the people that I can no longer overlook the wicked things they're doing. And I believe God just said, America's an important nation. And just like Jonah was told to tell the people of Nineveh, God can't keep overlooking what all the sins that you've done. It's time for you to listen up. I believe America is tremendously important to God. And this should be our motivation to obey God and to do what God wants us to do. But instead, as we learn from Jonah, we often are guilty of the same. He turns and he runs away. He doesn't want to get involved in helping what needs to be helped. He hasn't learned that if he's not a part of the problem, he should be a part of the healer, the healing. But instead, he disobeys. And you know what? In his disobedience, I got to tell you this right up front, folks. We're going to read it in a moment in the scripture. In Jonah's disobedience, he brought problems to other people he didn't even know. And when you and I are disobedient, we bring problems to other people we don't even know. And sometimes we bring those same problems to those we do know and love because of our disobedience. Let's listen to what happened to Jonah. The Lord sent a violent wind over the sea. Now remember, he's in the bottom of the boat. He's sound asleep. He's running away from God. The storm was so powerful that the ship was in danger of breaking up. And the sailors, they've been sailors a long time, but they were afraid and they cried out to their gods for help. They began to throw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship's load. Now Jonah had gone below the deck and was laying there sound asleep. The captain of the ship went down to him and asked, "How can you sleep? Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he'll notice us and he won't die. We won't die." Then the sailors said to each other, "Let us throw dice to find out who is responsible for bringing this disaster on us." So that's what they did. And they threw dice, and somehow it pointed to Jonah. He's responsible. Now listen to what they said to him. They asked him, "Tell us, why is this disaster happening to us? Where do you live? Where do you come from? What country are you from? What nationality are you?" And Jonah answered them. Now listen, his answer was honest. "I'm a Hebrew," meaning he was a Jew. "I worship the Lord God of heaven. He is the God who made the sea and the land." Then the men were terrified. They knew that he was running away from the Lord because he told them. They asked Jonah, "Why have you done this?" That's strange, folks, to have somebody that doesn't even know God, they pray to their gods and nothing happened. "Why are you running away from your God?" The storm was getting worse. So they asked Jonah, "What should we do to bring some calmness to the sea?" And Jonah told them, "Throw me overboard. Then the sea will begin to be calm. I know I'm responsible for this violent storm." Oh, my goodness, folks. Jonah knew that. He's responsible. Instead, the men tried to row harder to get the ship back to the shore, but they couldn't do it. The storm was getting worse. Do you understand? When you and I are disobedient, we bring problems to other people. And because there's so much disobedience in America, it brings problems to other people. We are not loving God as we should. We are not loving people as we should. We're not even loving ourselves as we should, only in a selfish way, to only think of me, myself, and I. God is saying to us, if we run from God and we run from the responsibilities that God gives us to do, it's going to cause pain and confusion in our life, but it's also going to cause pain and confusion in the life of others. You know what my challenge would be this morning about this time? As individuals and as a nation, we need to stop running from God. We need to start running to God. We've run away long enough. We need to run. God has our attention. I believe this COVID thing, I'm not saying God caused it, but I believe it should have got our attention. We're not near as much in charge as we sometimes think we are. So we need to just get a little further in the message before we listen to a song, because Jonah's just been told that, Jonah's just told them, the best way to help this trouble you're in is get rid of me. And you know, God is asking us not to be a runaway and cause hardship in other people's lives. Let's pick it up in Jonah chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. They didn't really want to do this, folks. But these sailors, they picked Jonah up and they hurled him into the sea. And the sea ceased from its raging. Jonah was the cause of the problem. Jonah was the cause of the problem. But now these guys, as the water gets calm, all of a sudden the men feared. A great fear came over them. They feared the Lord exceedingly. They said, his God is the real God. And they offered a sacrifice to this God. And they made vows that from now on they was going to live to please this God. And you know, they just didn't want to be held responsible for the fact that they just threw Jonah into the sea. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. The big fish even took Jonah down deeper. Jonah was on a downward trend. For you cast me into the depths of, into the heart of the sea. And the flood surrounded me, and all the waves and the billows passed over me. The water closed in on me on every side to take my life. The deep surrounded me, weeds were wrapped around my head at the root of the mountain, and went down, down, down to the roots of the mountain. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. I love the way this is described in the message. It scares me, but I love the way it is described. You threw me into the sea, in depths into the watery grave, and ocean waves, breakers of the cat crashing over me. Ocean gripped me by the throat. The ancient abyss grabbed me and held me tight. My head was all tangled in seaweed at the bottom of the sea, where the mountains take root. I was far down as a body can go, and the gates were slamming shut forever. I'm very claustrophobic, folks. And right now I'm having a hard time breathing. I don't want to be in that well. I don't even want Jonah to be in that well. Takes my breath away. He was going down, 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 down. And you know what? I believe when, as an individual, if you don't pause and consider, as God tells us so many times in his word, if we don't have a time out to give God some consideration, we're going to go down, 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 down. As a nation, if we don't pause and consider, we're going to go down, down, down. And God is saying, it's no time to run away from your responsibility. It's time for us to be able to obey God in what he's saying. I got to tell you right up front, Some people say they don't believe that story. It's just a fairy tale. But I got to tell you, I believe it. Because you know why I believe it? Jesus believed it. One day Jesus said, talking about his death, as Jonah was in the well and a big fish's tummy 3 days and three nights, I'm going to be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. He's going to go through the depths of everything that is possible for a human being to go through. And he's going to come out victorious. Well, let's take a little pause, because about this time, you know what I need? I need, and you need, God's grace. God's grace. And God's grace reaches out to each and every one of us in a special way. And I just like this song that tells us that God's grace is sufficient. It's sufficient to help each one of us. So I'll be right back in just a few moments.
God's grace is sufficient for me, God's grace is sufficient for me. When it seems all hope is gone, he is high up on his throne, working out the plan he started in me. Even when the way is dark and I can't see very far, he the bright and shining light will be. I will worship and proclaim and give glory to his name, for his grace is sufficient for me. God's grace was sufficient for Elijah, as he was standing there upon the mount. All the prophets of Baal, they began to scream and yell, but their God didn't even make a sound. Then Elijah prayed through just to see what God would do, and the fire of the Lord did fall. It consumed the sacrifice with a single flash of light, and Jehovah God was worshipped by all. Yes, God's grace is sufficient for me, God's grace is sufficient for me. When it seems all hope is gone, he is high upon his throne, working out the plan he started in me. Even when the way is dark and I can't see very far, he the bright and shining light will be. I will worship and proclaim and give glory to his name, for his grace is sufficient for me.
God's grace was sufficient for old Jonah, as he was sitting in the belly of the whale. Old Jonah should have died, but the Lord kept him alive so that he would have a story he could tell. Well, then Jonah prayed through just to see what God would do, and the fish came swimming to the shore. Well, he spit old Jonah out, and when Jonah hit the ground, he was preaching like he'd never before. Yes,
God's grace is sufficient for me, God's grace is sufficient for me. When it seems all hope is gone, he is high upon his throne, working out the plan he started in me. Even when the way is dark and I can't see very far, neither bright and shining light will be. I will worship and proclaim and give glory to his name, for his grace is sufficient for me. God's grace is sufficient for me, God's grace is sufficient for me. When it seemed all hope is gone, he is high up on his throne, working out the plan he started in me. Even when the way is dark and I can't see very far, he the bright and shining light will be. I will worship and proclaim and give glory to his name, for his grace is sufficient for me. I will worship and proclaim and give glory to his name, for his grace is sufficient for me.
God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. And you know, folks, the next part of this story shows us why we can have confidence in God's grace. That is sufficient to accomplish the purpose that God was setting out to accomplish. You know what God did? Because of his grace, he gave Jonah a second chance. God is the God of second chance. God is the God that says, even if you mess up, if you'll come to me, I'll give you another opportunity. I think sometimes God gets even second and third chances. And I'm so glad that God gave a second chance to Jonah. And I'm so glad that God is offering a second chance to each one of us. Let me tell you about it in the book of Jonah, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and then it's recorded again in verses 7 through 10. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God. I called to the Lord in my distress, Jonah said, and he answered me. From the depths of my watery grave, I cried for help, and you heard my cry. You brought me back from the pit, O Lord, my God. As your holy temple, those who hold on to worthless idols abandon their loyalty to you, but I will sacrifice to you the songs of thanksgiving. I will keep all the vows that I've made. Victory belongs to the Lord. Then the Lord spoke to the fish, and the fish spit Jonah up on dry land. God is a God of second chance. He hears our prayers in our time of distress. Death was closing in on Jonah, and he knew it. And he cried out to God, and he said, you answered me, and you brought me up out of that pit. And I'll tell you, he's in about the deepest pit as you could get into. This is a word picture that I like to use when thinking that we can come to God at any time, in any circumstance, whatever we find ourselves in. There's a portion of scripture that says, his ear is open to my cry. And Jonah found that was true. He cried for help, and God heard. He brought him out of the pit. And we as individuals, or even as a nation, if we cry out to God in our distress, we cry out to God for help, I believe God's ear is open to that cry. I believe he wants us. He wants to give us a second opportunity. I believe God wants to give America an opportunity to be able to do the things that we should do. I love the way Jonah described it. He says, my life was slipping away, and then I remembered the Lord. My prayer came to your holy temple. Isn't that interesting? Even in the belly of the big fish, it could be a place where God could meet with him. And God did meet with him. I think that's so special. And I love the idea. In one of the translations, it says, salvation is of the Lord. And the word translated here is victory belongs to God. It's something that God has brought about. And I think, you know, that idea that that big fish spit Jonah out about that time. I think the big fish said, I'm tired of Jonah too. So he spit him up on dry land. You know, you and I got to be careful, because when I was reading that, I remember a portion of scripture in the book of Revelation when it talked about a church. It said they were neither hot nor cold. They were lukewarm. God said, I wish you were cold. I could warm you up. I wish you were hot. You'd be going forward for me. But because you're lukewarm, he says, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Ah, dear people, we need to realize we need to come and cry out to him for his help and for his strength and for his guidance as an individual and as a nation. I believe God is saying to us, I want you to move forward. Even if you messed up in the past, move forward. A second chance is yours. Now listen to what happened. This is how it was put together in Jonah's life. Then the Lord spake the word to Jonah a second time. He said, leave at once for that important city Nineveh. Announce to the people the message that I've given to you. And Jonah immediately went to Nineveh. That same message was given in the same way, only before Jonah immediately ran away. He immediately went to Nineveh, and he started walking through the city. It said it would take 3 days to walk through the city, and the city of Nineveh was such a large city. And Jonah started walking, and this is what he was saying as he was walking. In 40 days, Nineveh, you will be destroyed. In 40 days, Nineveh, you will be destroyed. I love it when Jonah was on dry land that God spoke to Jonah the second time. He did the same message, and he told him to leave at once and go to the city of Nineveh because it was important to God. The same message was given to him, the same message that God had delivered before. And Jonah immediately responded in obedience and went and did what he is supposed to do. When Jonah ran from God, remember, it caused a lot of pain to those in the ship. I love that God's love means you get a second chance. In Jonah's second chance, going to the city of Nineveh, even though Jonah didn't like it, we see that God not only gave Jonah a second chance, but he gave the city of Nineveh a second chance. I love the story Jesus told about a fig tree one day, showing that this is possible for each one of us. It's recorded in the book of Luke, chapter 13. Jesus said, "A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard. He went and he looked for fruit on the tree, but he didn't find any. He said to the gardener, 'For the last 3 years I've come here to look for fruit on this fig tree, and I haven't found any. Cut it down.'" Why should it use good soil? It's just taking up space. The gardener replied, "Sir, let it stand for one more year. I'll dig around it and I'll fertilize around it, and maybe next year there'll be fruit. But if not, then we'll cut it down." I believe God says that he's the God of second chance. There's many, many people in the Bible that God gave a second chance. I believe God gave the nation of Israel not only a second chance, but a third and a fourth and a fifth. Every time they repented and came to God, God would forgive and God would bless. I believe that's one of the things that is needed in America today, is we need to bow before our God. And us that call ourselves Christians, we need to bow and pray for this America. We need to bow before God and pray for its leaders. And then we need to live a quiet and a peaceable life, as he says, given an example of what needs to be done in order to accomplish the purpose that God wants us to do. I'm excited to share with you what happened, because I believe God is saying to us as individuals and as a nation, it's time to move forward. It's time to let the past be past. It's time for you to accomplish the things I want you to accomplish in and through your lives, in and through the nation of America. And you know something? As Jonah went to the city of Nineveh, now I got to be honest with you, I won't have a lot of time to address how God had to deal with his selfishness that he still had. Selfishness was what caused him to run away. But selfishness, when he went and preached what God told him to preach, in 40 days, Nineveh, you will be destroyed. When he went and preached that, Jonah wasn't happy when God forgave them. Jonah was upset. And then Jonah went out and he's pouting, waiting for God to destroy him, and God forgave him. And they all, God caused a little tree to grow up by him, a little bush, and gave him some calmness. And then God sent a worm. I won't be talking about that, but I want you to know that God, after God had dealt with the whole city of Nineveh, and they had repented, Jonah has still got that selfish act. And God had to finally say to Jonah, "You can feel sorry when a little bush dies, but there's thousands of people that's young. They don't know their right hand from their left hand, and that doesn't touch your heart and life." Now, I got to tell you, folks, Jonah was selfish, and he didn't want God to forgive those people. He wanted God to destroy. And I'm not sharing my message today because I want God to destroy. I want us to repent and know the life that God is able to give us in our second chance. So we've got to take a peek at what happened. You know, God blessed the message, not the messenger. Jonah was kind of a half-hearted messenger, but he did do what God told him to do. So I give him the credit for that. But in Jonah chapter 3, listen to this. The people of Nineveh believed God. They believed God. I got to tell you, that's powerful. Jonah wasn't much of a preacher. It's all he was saying. In 40 days, Nineveh, God's going to destroy you. 40 days, God's going to destroy. And the people believed God. They decided to fast, and everyone from the most important to the least important dressed themselves in sackcloth. That's the way they showed they were repentant. When the news reached the king of Nineveh got up from his throne. He took off his robe and he put on sackcloth, and he sat in ashes. Then he made this announcement and sent it throughout the entire city. This is an order from the king and his nobles. No one is to eat or drink anything. This includes all people, all animals, all cattle, all sheep. Every person, every animal must put on sackcloth and cry loudly to God for help. Cry out to God, he says, for help. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn from your acts of violence. Who knows? God may rescind his plan and turn from his burning anger so that we won't die. God saw that they did it. He saw that they were turning from their wicked ways. So God reconsidered his threat to destroy them. And he didn't. He didn't destroy them. God forgave them as they cried out to God for help. I believe we need more of us crying out to God for help for America. I believe we need to come to that point of saying, God, we've kind of forsaken you. Everybody's done his own thing as Jonah was doing his own thing. But God, we need to come back to you. We need to seek your face. We need to understand who you are and what you've come to do in our lives. And you know something? God was willing to do that. You take one step towards God, and he'll take three steps towards you. The cry that God has never refused is the cry for help. Rather, it was a leper when Jesus was here. Rather, it was a crippled man. Rather, it was a deaf man. A person that has lost his sight. Rather, it was Peter when he was walking on water and he began to sink. What did he do? He cried out, help! And what happened? Immediately, the hand of Jesus was there to help him. I love it when it says they walk back together to the boat. God is there. He wants to help us. I believe with all of my heart, God wants to help us through this COVID-19 thing. I believe with all my heart, God wants to help us as a nation to get back to some of the principles that we've walked away from. And if you, this morning, under the hearing of my voice, you are a believer in God, but you run away. You're not doing what you know he wants you to do. I believe God would be saying to you and I today, I'm going to give you a second chance. I'm going to give you a second chance. I believe God is saying, I want you to start over again. I want you to move forward. You know, this story is so powerful. But I believe Jesus makes it even more powerful. I believe the truth that Jesus used this story for when he was teaching the religious leaders. The religious leaders of Jesus, they were scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees. And they were the ones that gave Jesus the most difficulty as far as the things and not believing what God, what Jesus was saying. Not believing what he was teaching. And one day, to wrap this story up, Jesus was with the scribes and the Pharisees in the book of Matthew chapter 12. And they said to Jesus, "Teacher, we want you to show us a miraculous sign." They said, "Jesus, we're going to believe in you if you do a miraculous show us a miraculous sign. You got to do something that shows you're still in charge. Then we'll believe you." Jesus said, "You know what? The people of an evil and unfaithful era or generation look for miraculous signs. But the only sign they will get is the sign of the prophet Jonah." Listen to that. God said, "The sign I'm going to show you is the sign of the prophet Jonah." Just as Jonah was in the belly of a huge fish for 3 days and three nights, the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. Now listen to what he says, because this is possible. The men of Nineveh, one of these days will stand, because the men of Nineveh will stand up with you at the time of judgment and will condemn you, because they turn to God and they change their ways and they change their thoughts and they change their action when Jonah spoke the message. That's supposed to help us see. That was a beautiful thing when they turned to God. But now Jesus is saying, a greater than Jonah is here. The Lord Jesus himself, coming with the word of God, is greater than Jonah. And he comes for this purpose to you, and he comes for this purpose to me. He wants us to change our heart. He wants us to change the way we're acting. He wants us to change the way we're behaving. He wants us to come obedient to him. And God is reminding us, just as God gave Jonah a second chance, just as God gave Nineveh a second chance, God wants to give you and America a second chance. But you're going to know what it's going to take? It's going to take you and I. It's going to take you and I coming to the point where we realize we need to trust God.
Change my heart, oh God.
That's the answer, folks. Change my heart, oh God. God bless you.
Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Change my heart, oh change my heart.